Yo,
what up?
We must be back with a new season, man. 1100 AM.
That right.
And we got Tiff, Hand in the building, HO and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of Sports Talk Radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the LA Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk, Kane. I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
Hero holding it down for the big homie. What's up, Atlanta? Big homie Stephen in the studio. What's up, big homie?
All is well.
They left me here to shoot that jump. I had to take that last second shot. Ain't no biggie. What's up, Atlanta?
What's up, baby? We are in the building. Thanks for everybody being patient with us as you know that Atlanta traffic is always doing what it do. So thanks for tuning in. You reached again another banger for the SRT crew with Sports Roundtable, and we're in the building, man. Thanks for tuning in each and every week, and this is how we do it. Lots going on in sports world. It's a whole lot going on. It's summer league. Got the McGregor and Mayweather. They still trying to get at each other. What else going on? 2 weeks before the start of football, and this ball and LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball is going crazy. Also, the Michael Vick situation with Cap. That's big. And we go get into more of that. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a special guest in studio, and it's gonna be awesome, man. It's gonna be the real deal. I'm here to tell you that now. It's gonna be the real deal. So y'all stay tuned for that, and I will introduce our guest coming up pretty soon, man. First time listening to the show, man. Shame on you. And D Willis, D Willis climbing up under the table. Boy, we wilding over here. But listen, your first time listening to the show, shame on you, but we do appreciate it. If you want to contact the show, talk to us on the show, please give us a call, 404-603-8770. That's the number to call. If you want to follow us and listen to the show, please do go to @SRT Radio. You can find us on all social media, and srtradio.com definitely will be something that you want to go to. That is the website that you can go and listen to the show. And it is going to be a banger. Like I said, once again, it's going to be a banger tonight. The SRT crew is in the building. We're waiting on G Money to get here. So for those who don't know, I am your humble host, HO from Bankhead, of course. Got to represent the Bankhead crew. And my main man who shot the jump shot and got us started. Got us started.
Hey, you scared to take that shot? Hey, you can't score unless you shoot it, baby.
My main man from Memphis, Tennessee. They call him the sports superhero, Mr. Hancock.
What's up, big homie? What's up, crew?
What happened?
What up, Atlanta?
There you go. What up, Weez?
What's happening?
Man, what, the bridge out again?
Yeah.
You was off today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is she on too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you late.
Yeah.
The honeydew list.
Yeah. Little love, hey, that too. Hey,
look.
Up?
So you know we got about 40 more days before college football.
Yeah, so she better go and get me going now.
What's up, Atlanta?
Yeah, man. Appreciate that. And of course, my main man from the Gump. But he, if you want to claim T-Town, he can. Because he wears 4 rings out of 8 years. And he's D-Will, the coach.
What's happening then? What up, crew?
What up, homie?
Ain't nothing, man. I was running a little bit behind today, but I'm here. You know what I'm talking about? But I did get the chance to hear my man, Sports Superhero, straight up shoot, half court, no time on the clock, ball game. I did ball get a game. Chance to hear. Hey, bruh. Ball game.
Ball game.
Ball game. Yes, sir.
I called game.
He called game. And he called glass.
Oh, boy, I tell you, it is good to be here. Awesome to be here. Another week of sports. And we got a great show for you, man. The hot news will be coming up here pretty soon. And then we got our special guest. Childhood friend of mine. Great guy. Super duper guy. Sharpshooter now. Let's not forget that. Sharpshooter. So we got... I call you Coach Marquise Hicks? I mean, that sounds so funny. Do I call you Kiki for three? I mean,
whatever you're comfortable with.
Whatever I'm comfortable with. We got Marquise Hicks, assistant coach over at Point University. So we got him coming up around 7:30. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And we just go rock it all the way from there. And I think G got some extra credit coming up in the second hour. And then we're going to get into some hot sports topics, and it's going to be on and popping because we're hearing now that Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum is recruiting Melo. we just going to talk about that. So G-Money just walked in the building for everybody who don't know.
G-Money.
He's G-Money. What's up, G?
Yo.
You know they had a Braves game today.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into some of these hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
What's up, boy?
Red hot.
Hard. This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
The hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go over to our friends at the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. When I tell you they have the best shrimp in town, it is verified. So please go to BigEasyGrill.com and check out the menu. And let's go ahead and get into some of this hot news, baby. Fellas, now I'm feeling some kind of way. And I'm going to just tell you why. I got 1, 2, 3. All Lakers fans. Okay? So, I guess this question, I should not say anything. The Lakers are champs for the Summer League. Lonzo Ball won MVP and he didn't even play in the championship game. Goes to show you what he's done. Minus the first game when Twitter went ballistic. But the Lakers win the championship in the Summer League. Hancock, does it give you hope? What does it do for you?
I'm happy with it, the championship. Hey, you can, everybody try to rain on it all they want. Look, man, the Lakers have been down. We hadn't had anything since COVID 2 years ago, basically, before you started having injuries and going down. There was really no hope, man. All we had was a one shot, one punch with COVID. So, for us to have something moving forward, to have something to build on, the salary cap is in a good place, the roster looks good. It's all in the right direction, man. I mean, I still have my reservations about the coaching staff, to be honest with you. And that's because, you know, my man now has to coach. When he was at Golden State, Luke Walton, you know, you kind of roll the ball out. Yeah, Steph and those people, you just don't mess it up.
Just don't mess it
now
up.
Now you got to coach a little bit. You got to bring some players along. You got to make some other decisions on playing time. What, you know, combinations, things of that nature. Who fits with what? But what I do like is that Lonzo is bringing a mentality of passing the ball. We're getting back to a Bird and Magic type era, I believe. Basketball kind of goes in cycles. Right now we're in a jump shooting cycle. But at least I think he's going to bring back in a more of a playmaking, making plays for other people. You can see it kind of be contagious.
Let me break down to the listeners who's not real sports fans in layman's terms what you're basically saying. The coach Bill Walton Luke Walton. Sorry, that was his dad. Luke Walton. At Golden State, he was Joe Flacco. Now he has to be Peyton Manning.
Exactly. He got to run.
He got to be able to do something.
All right, all that being said, I love what we do. Kuzma, I'm high on Kuzma.
D. Will, Laker fan. I know you high on the Lakers. You was trying to open up Hancock's eyes to being patient. So I'm going to let you go ahead and get your spiel out.
Okay. I'm going to go do it like the millennials do. Skirt! Let's pump your brakes. Let's slow down just a tad bit. Let's pull back and understand this was summer league.
I agree.
Lonzo Ball looked great. He looked like a player. Okay, so the monkey on the back of the Lakers of who is Lonzo Ball, we see he is who they said he would be. Okay, for the masses who have never seen him, they only heard his dad talk, they only heard the stories, they got a chance to see him. And they understand, okay, the kid can play. Kuzma is a... Whoever in the Lakers front office that did their due diligence to find that kid late first round did age.
27 pick.
Listen, they need a raise because that boy can... Not only can he put it on the floor... The jump shot is wet. That's what shocked me with him being a they call him a stretch four, but he kind of reminds me of, all right, not on the defensive end, but on offensively, he reminds me of a Draymond Green, who you can put him in the corner and he can knock down the open shot. He runs the floor well, and that the chemistry of him and Lonzo Ball is going to be big.
Light skin.
Listen, but let's not. Hey, listen, we're not going to throw B.I. out. Brandon Ingram.
Right.
That first game. You saw a click between him and Lonzo early. You know what I mean? You saw that chemistry early. But it's you can be excited.
Yeah,
but let's curtail our excitement because it will not translate into wins this year.
Don't matter. We can do what Golden State did.
Did you just say it? Don't matter?
I don't care. I just want to see something going in the right direction.
I got you.
They ain't the Hawks.
They not. Well, listen.
Y'all had to bring my Hawks.
I'm just being real. Well, not the Hawks.
You got to pound on somebody.
You're not Phoenix.
You right.
I mean,
Phoenix look good.
Yeah, but okay. Phoenix coming on.
Yeah, they coming on.
But they're not Sacramento. Sacramento might be okay.
Yeah, Sacramento.
After what?
They not an old Philly.
But you know what I mean. Yeah.
Listen, you know what you just did, though? That just shows that the NBA is in a good place.
Exactly.
And I feel where you said, your analogy earlier saying we're getting back to a Bird and Magic era where it's more ball movement. It's less one-on-one play.
Exactly.
Because Lonzo Ball shares the ball. No,
he advances the ball, as Hancock said.
He advances the ball.
Let me tell y'all something, though.
That's a coach term. Advance the ball.
He advances the ball, man.
But let me tell you something. If you watch Chino Hills play basketball, and that's the high school he went to where his brother just came out of, and LiAngelo, who's going to UCLA, and his younger brother LaMelo, who's going to be a junior there. If you go watch their style of play, and people, we talked about it on this show 3 years ago when we said that's not really basketball, because what they do is they get the ball and they throw it up. Everything is in advance. So what you see at Lonzo Ball doing now is what he has been doing his entire career so far going forward. So it's nothing new for him, and that's why Magic loved him from the beginning.
Exactly. It's contagious, man. You can see everybody's making that extra pass.
Yep.
All right, we're going to move on to the next subject, but, you know, going back to our days in playing basketball, Loyola Marymount.
Yeah.
That's basically what that Chino Hills team is doing, and basically what that is. All right, second topic. Vic advising.
Oh, we might need to change the music.
Come on.
Vic has advised Kaepernick to cut his hair, and obviously it worked with G Money because G Money has taken his cornrows out.
I didn't cut it though.
You did? Okay. Well, you changed the style. So Twitter blew up. When that conversation,
Black Twitter, be specific.
Yeah,
Black Twitter.
So we not gonna spend a lot of time on this. Let's just call it what it is. Hancock, go ahead and give me your thoughts on.
I do agree with Colin Kaepernick. I think Michael Vick is suffering from Stockholm syndrome.
You better believe it.
You know, and for those who don't know, that's when you become partners with your captor.
Yeah,
that means that if you held hostage, I can leave the door unlocked or whatever.
And
you come out and get you something, you going back in the cage.
R. Kelly. Excuse me.
So, I mean, it comes a time when, Mike, okay, we understand.
Yeah.
You had to do some things to get back in good graces.
All right.
But enough is enough. I mean, you just falling on the sword, man, to say stupid stuff. You contradicted yourself by saying it's not he's not playing football, and it's not because of his appearance, but he need to cut his hair. What kind of sense does that make?
No.
If you're not giving him a job because of his productivity, but then you say, but he really, we need to start with cutting his hair. That makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So you're basically saying he needs to sell out and wear long sleeves and not show tattoos and not show any, what's the word you always use? Culture.
Yeah.
Culture-related images of himself in order to get a job. But we see long hair people. The Mets pitcher today is he has to wear a man bun to pitch. Yeah. Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, that's him.
Okay.
Dude, we don't know who he is.
I don't know
but
who
I'm
he is.
But I'm just saying, you got.
That's almost what's in
him. Why don't they have to cut their hair? Why is it that the brother got to cut his hair? And it's just to me. Come on, Mike. You better than that.
All right, D-Will. Let's zoom through those ones.
Y'all know I'm a Mike Vick fan. My wife is utterly in love with him, and she is in the studio right now. But I got to tell you, this is a pre, you big dummy. Listen, Michael Vick. Please, listen. I'm a fan of yours. But what you said at this point has to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my... Do you think that them people gave you your second $100 million contract because you cut your cornrows off? Honestly, please tell me that.
He does think that.
Damn. See, I was...
When he got arrested for the dogs, he had cornrows. Next day, first day in court, he cut him off.
He cut him off. And I understand that...
But that's a difference, though.
He was asked... It's a difference. He was asked a question. I'm going to give him the benefit. He was asked a question, and he answered it. And the thing is, the way he prefaced the question is, this was advice that was given to me. So if I was to give Colin any advice, I would say start there. So that's the context in which he answered the question, okay? Right. So in that, I understand where he's coming from in that, but to say it and to actually think someone's going to do it is the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Last thing. The thing about it is you were a convicted felon. You were doing something illegal. You got arrested.
All facts.
Colin did nothing against the law. He didn't stand up for the national anthem.
That's all he did was his constitutional right.
Yeah, he did something within his rights. Mm-hmm. Nothing illegal. So why should he have to cut his hair?
True.
Mike Vick, if you did that to get back in, well, you're going to have to do some different things when you break the law.
Exactly.
When you're trying to get back in. I understand that.
Hey, but y'all want to know something funny?
This is a different situation.
I saw, did y'all see him? Did y'all see the memes that came out?
Uh-huh.
And they had the Michael Vick face on the character from Django Steven.
That's
hey, what's that doing on that neck? Yeah,
that's a go. They should have him and Jason Hamhawk together.
Yeah.
Jason Whitlock.
All right, question number three. This is G Money, Ewan Hancock's question. What the hell is Zeke doing? Zeke Elliott, that is.
Trying to relive the days of the 90s, Cowboys.
Hey, Zeke Elliott has gotten in trouble in a bar incident. And this is what the second straight week that we've talked about a Cowboy in the news law dealing with police officers and things of that nature. Hancock,
this is the worst thing to happen to athletes in the history of sports because everybody is a reporter. If you do something now, guaranteed, if it's something minor, major, whatever, in the next 30 minutes, TMZ, NBC, CNN, everybody has it. There's no way to defuse it. It's broadcast from the jump. And back in the day, what I was telling Horace was, there were a lot of people that did some things that never got reported. Oklahoma had to close their dorms back in the day during football. They came out, they stopped them from having dorms. SMU faced the death penalty. They cut out the football program. So things have been done over the years, and it took years to get to those points. Those are just major things that I'm saying. But the new generation has to understand that anytime they do something, it's going to go viral within minutes. So they have to be – I'm not condoning any bad conduct. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you have to understand that you're going to be held at a different level, especially at a whole high-profile place like Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the biggest market as far as football you want to be in.
Yeah.
you know, one of the Cadillacs of the NFL. Of the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Sports
with
period.
That, exactly. When you, with that comes responsibility. And anything you do, is you're going to be scrutinized for. So he just got to learn. He's got to grow up, man.
Yeah,
I mean, he got the one thing.
How old is he?
That's a, he got to be, what, 20, about
22, 23. Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? He's young. So
thrusting money on. He's trying to decide on how to live and whatever. But he got to grow up.
He got
to
grow up, and I understand. And don't you know the old school saying, they used to be like, whatever's done in the dark will come to light. That no longer applies. In today's day and time, whatever is done is already in the light. Because immediately when it's done, the whole world can see it. It's all, like you say, Hen, and I'm piggyback. The invention of the cell phone is the worst invention for a celebrity, an athlete, whatever, a high profile individual. This is the worst invention ever because everybody is a reporter.
Exactly.
And think about, go back. We thought the Rodney King event was such a big deal because it happened. Black folks been knowing that happened. We've been knowing people been getting beat down by the police. That happened every day. That wasn't anything. But when somebody took a video camera and showed it, it almost changed the world. So we got to understand, video camera, well, these kids have to understand, these video cameras, well, young men, I'm not even going to give them a kid. These young men got to understand, whatever you do, if you see them or not, somebody is recording you. Somebody is taking a picture of you. And I understand you want to live your life. You want to be able to do what you want to do, but just understand it's consequences. And somebody's going to see it, and you're going to have to deal with it. So if you don't want to have to deal with it, don't do it outside.
And so to that point, I think this is one of the reasons and one thing that you can actually give LeBron credit for is to be able to continue to be as popular as he is and continue to be the best basketball player on planet Earth and still do all these things without any of these things coming out. Not sure Michael MJ could have done that. It would have been some a sight to see. But we're going to move on to question number four. Kirk Cousins, Le'Veon Bell did not sign long-term deals. Le'Veon Bell is reported turned down $12 million a year with $30 million guaranteed, and he decided to play on the franchise tag. And I'm not sure when Cousin is going to get a deal. This is his third year, G, playing under the franchise tag?
His second. But he's, second the, he's the first quarterback to play 2 years under the tag.
Wow, he is getting paid, too. So, fellas, I think Le'Veon is trying to send a message to the value of the running back. And I think he's saying that we are more valuable than y'all are paying because up to this point, he will be the only double-digit guy this year as a running back in the league.
Right.
Everybody else is less than $10 million. So your thoughts on him taking a stand to say the running back position should be valued in the double digits?
Well, he can take that stand. But, I mean, Le'Veon misses a lot of football games.
He does.
He gets hurt a lot, so.
Not only that, he takes suspensions.
Yeah, that too. You're right. Yeah. Suspensions and hurt. So, you know, his position of strength might not be as strong as it seems. You know, so, you know, I don't know. I don't know if the running back position will ever be valued the way it is because it's a passing league now. Quarterbacks are who gets the money. They throw it. If you're a cornerback or a quarterback, you're going to get paid. Wide receiver. Those are the positions now because it's about points and being able to stop people from scoring. So I don't know if the running back is going to ever be in a position of power again. You might not make any more than like 9 or 10 a year. And if he's making 12 this year, he better enjoy it and he better stay healthy.
Sad.
Because,
though,
I mean, next year he might not be promised next year.
Yeah. Worth way more than $12 million a year.
But it is what it is.
Yep. All right, question number five, and this is the last one of the hot news. D-Will, LeVar and Lonzo. Well, LeVar has asked for $3 billion before Lonzo got drafted. And since the summer league, now we have reportedly and allegedly Nike, Adidas, and some other shoe companies starting at the bidding of $100 million now. This is to sign straight with them and not the big baller brand. So we've heard people take this stand about maybe Lonzo is trying to be independent and things of that nature. But my idea of this is all of this has been a ploy and a plan to show these people that my son can play, and you're going to come back to me and offer me some money, and the bidding is starting at $100 million. So I think what's going to happen is they may sign a deal with one of the shoe companies, and I think Under Armour will win this battle, them or Nike. And what I think is after that, after a couple of years, then Big Baller Brand will branch off of that and have their own brand under a sneaker shoe, just like Jordan broke off. So, D-Will, your thoughts on that?
I'm going to tell you, this has been planned from day one by LeVar Ball. Okay. All the talking, all the mess, everything was planned by LeVar. LeVar knew going into those shoe companies he was going to get lowballed. He knew he wasn't taking the deal. But don't you, have you ever heard it? It's like an NFL coach in the Rooney Rule. I know I'm not getting a job. I'm just taking the interview. I'm just doing this for experience. He knew what he was doing because he knew he has total and utter confidence in his child. We all know that. We can see it. So the Big Baller Brand will be there. I don't think he's going to sign with the shoe company, to be honest. How much did he, you prep it, how much did he ask for before the
season? $3 billion.
He is looking to get something astronomical. $100 million is not astronomical for him.
Well, it ain't astronomical. Say, with his
his initial offer, man, was like $6 million over 4 years.
Exactly.
And now it's turned into at least $100 million. Yeah. So, you know, when they bid from there, it could be higher than that. So, I mean, I think he was being hyperbolic by saying $1 billion.
Of course
$3 billion.
Right.
But it was going to be six if he signed with anybody right off. But now here's the thing: it could be at least 100.
But here's the thing: if you watch Lonzo Ball, the first two games of Summer League, he played in Big Baller Brand. The next game he played in Jordan's. The next game he played in Kobe's. The next game he played in James Harden's. The next game he played in Steph Curry's. He wore every single big time shoe company's shoe. It was listen, they know exactly what they're doing. We're like, okay, you know what? We're going to play in your shoes today. Right. I'm going to play in your shoes today. Because let's not forget, Jordan will be in this bidding war. Jordan and Nike is not the same entity, okay? Those are two solid, totally, and that's who he's looking for. Every kid wants to sign with Jordan. Now, when I do tell you, when he does make that shoe contract decision, it won't be a straight up sign. It will be a partnership, and he will be in Big Baller Brand / Jordan, Big Baller Brand / Nike, Big Baller Brand /
That
Adidas.
Might be the deciding factor.
It will be.
I just think that the whole thing was Nike shoe companies were not paying that big money for any athletes out of high school, out of college. I mean, like LeBron was, I think, maybe the last one to get that $90 million deal right out of high school and coming into the pros. The shoe contracts had gone down to like
way down.
Way down. And what he did was prove that this kid has star power. They were selling out to Summer League. And they sold out to Summer League, and he didn't even play two games. They just wanted to see him. So that lets you know the type of star power he has, and it's all due to that little penny effect. See, his personality is not going to carry it, but his daddy's personality does. It's like Penny Hardaway was boring, but Lil Penny got you hooked. And that's the same thing with LeVar. LeVar has brought the Big Baller Brand into the conscience of people who had no inkling of what Lonzo Ball was.
Right.
See, people now know who he is. 50-year-old Caucasian women. You don't even have to be a sports figure to hate LeVar, which automatically gets you Lonzo. So it was a marketing ploy. It's the perfect storm because he is so outlandish, and all Lonzo got to do is play.
Yep,
it's Lil Penny Hart. It's all it is.
Yep,
that's all it is, and it worked.
There it is. All right, man. That's going to wrap up hot news. But baby, when we come back, my main man is in the building. We will interview Marquise Hicks, Coach Hicks, Kiki for Three, Kiki for Real Foundation is coming soon, so y'all check it the website. You're listening to the Sports Roundtable and srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, "Hey, try this." Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you, and you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. 800-287-7891. That's 800-287-7891.
There's only so much time left to try the new seasonal smokehouse barbecue bacon sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Delicious grilled chicken, bacon, and cheese slathered in zesty smokehouse barbecue sauce. It won't be around much longer.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
You can go back to the Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens had to deal with a lot. But guess what? He had an internet. Only people that talked about him was the people that had a voice. You see what I'm saying? Now?
And a noose.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Sports Roundtable with the SRT crew. We're back. Thanks for tuning in to Hottest Sports Show on Radio, where sports meets entertainment. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. Got a Hancock. D. Wheel, the coach, D. Money is in the building. But we got a special guest. And let me just see if I can do this intro the way that I know it needs to be done. In the studio with us tonight, Atlanta's own College Park legend, sharpshooter, probably can outshoot Steph in his heyday.
Ooh.
That's a lot of pressure.
Ooh.
But I can tell you this. I've witnessed this kid. I think we met when we was 12 and 13. We played a lot of tournaments together. We went out of town a lot together and things of that nature. Former assistant coach at Georgia Tech, and we will be talking about that as well. But now he is an assistant coach at Point University, and I have no idea what that is. West Point, Georgia, I guess. That's what Google says. But ladies and gentlemen, in the building, Atlanta's own College Park legend, the sharpshooter, Marquise Hicks.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Kiki for three.
What's up, boy?
What's happening, man?
Not a whole lot, man.
Ha! There you go. You on Facebook Live, baby. There you go.
Facebook
Tell
Live.
Everybody what's happening.
Well,
everything good?
Yeah, everything's great, man.
My man. Listen, our history and our story goes back, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on, I told you this the other day, is you got something special. You've always been somebody that I respected. We did compete against one another during high school and things of that nature, but always respect. You went to Oklahoma.
Right.
Played under Billy Tubbs.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes, sir.
You left there, and then you went to Coastal Carolina, and I think they put you in the Hall of Fame or something like that.
Right.
So what I'm saying is I'm proud of you.
I appreciate it.
I'm proud of you. And now you are taking all the things that you've learned to the kids in here. And that's why I wanted you on the show, to show the world and to tell the world and tell all our listeners what we have in you and where you are now at Point University. So tell us, what is Point University and where is it, first of all?
Man, believe it or not, I get that a lot. You know, people laughing and saying, where is it? But with me, I love basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say that to me and ask me about the levels, I say I'm impacting young men's lives. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I'm coaching basketball, so I'm doing something that I love. Of course, the higher level has more glory to it, and you know, and more people know about it. But for me, the type of person that I am, it doesn't matter as much for the level as it matters to me what I'm doing and the impact that I'm having for these kids and their future.
There you go. Now, tell us where Point University is.
Point University is in West Point, Georgia. It's South 85 South.
Okay. 85 South. So 85 everybody, South. If you looking for Point University, it's going toward.
There's 85. A lot of signs throughout the cities because we have different campuses.
Okay.
So I think that's where people get it mixed up at.
I got you.
They may think it's in the area, like we have one in Peachtree Ridge, there's a campus in Buckhead, but the main campus is in West Point.
West Point, Georgia. Wow. That's close to LaGrange.
Right, just past LaGrange. Just, okay. Right around where the kill plant is.
Okay. Oh, it's right on the line.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
What division is it?
It's NAIA.
Okay. Cool. All right. One of the things that has happened over the last month is AAU season.
Right.
That's the big talk and big topic of the summer.
Right.
We got some people in here that, you know, AAU is more like a hype machine. You got some people in here that, in my opinion, you know, it has its good and has its bad.
Right.
But I want to hear from a coach, what is the good and the bad for AAU, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, let me just be honest with you, man. I don't want to say anything too negative about the AAU programs, but I will say that it's nothing like it was when we were coming up. And I know things change and you have to be able to adapt to change, but I don't feel like a good majority of the change is for the better.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, like, I feel like, you know, and I probably get in trouble for this, but, you know, anybody that knows me know I'm going to be honest. I feel like too many people or guys are involved in it not for the love of the game or for these kids' future. They're involved in it to try to make a name for themselves, meaning like trying to get a job on a college coaching staff when you really haven't went to school and you got your degree. So, and I mean, I'm not trying to high side on anybody, but, you know, sometimes AAU coaches, and not all AAU coaches, they take coaches, professional coaches, for granted. Mm-hmm. But see, they don't have guidelines and rules that they have to go by. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That we have to follow by. You understand? So they can do more to get into a player's head than we can, because we have rules.
Street agents.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but now it's gotten so bad to the point where, you know, you got coaches who kind of folding for some of these guys because they want these guys players.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys have been doing things for kids since they've been young. And I don't want to say that in a way that there are not guys that are doing good with it, because, you know, you have Dez with Game Elite. He's a good guy. He's doing it for the right reason.
Exactly.
He trained his kids, you know what I mean? He got a great program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, a couple other guys, but, you know, Dez is one that sticks out to me. But, you know, those guys are great, but the other guys, man, you know, to be honest with you, man, it's going in a direction that's not really healthy.
So, you're basically saying your issues with AAU isn't really the game, isn't really the play on the court. It's more of the dealings outside surrounding the game, the people who are doing the handlings, the people who are so-called, like you say, street agents or AAU program runners. Right. Those are the guys who really have, how should I say it? I don't want to be too negative also, who have infiltrated the game to make it something that it wasn't meant to be.
Right. Well, it's partially true what you just said, but I do have a problem with some of the coaches that just roll the ball out. You understand what I'm saying? Because when these kids get to me or to college or another college, they don't know how to do certain things that we're going to need them to do in a team setting. Mm-hmm. Because all they're used to doing is just, they're athletic and they may be talented and they may have even been ranked. Mm-hmm. But when you have to get in a setting, you know, where there's other good players and other good athletes, you have to be able to think the game. You have to be able to learn the plays. You can't just go out there and run up and down the court. Mm-hmm. So the AAU coaches that are just grabbing kids because of their talent, but you're not really training them the right way to play that they're going to be able to play in college, you know, I think that's a disservice to the game.
Yeah, that's big. So with that being said, let's go back to, again, our history and us playing and things of that nature. Now, I'm sure you get this and get a lot of flack for some of your kids and some of your ball players and about what you used to do back in the day and things of that nature. They say, yeah, really, coach, things of that nature. But these two guys here are very, very close to me. They close to my heart. I love them both. But they don't understand the type of athlete that I was, that you saw back in the day. So can you kind of expound on that first?
Man, see, make it
see,
quick.
See, there you go. You see what I'm saying?
Make it quick.
Hey, I'm telling you, seriously, Harris was a bad boy, man. He was a quarterback because Harris was tall. And everybody knew he was a great quarterback, and he also played basketball. When we first met him, I was like, dang, the first person that came to my mind, because I've been a Laker fan since I've been a child, was Magic. Because he was a tall point guard, he had size, and he could push that thing up quick. Harris was the no-look. Remember guys used to do those no-look passes?
Oh, yeah.
That's Harris.
Yeah, D-Will.
Oh,
Lord.
Where was he when we were playing state and we were going up with me? Where was that?
Well, I had changed positions.
No, I'm saying, where was he? We needed another shooter.
Oh, he was in Coastal Carolina. I mean, he was on the beach somewhere. You know? So, I mean, that's the thing. But let me just say this. And throwing it back to Kiki, one of the best shooters I ever seen. I mean, absolutely greatest shooter I ever seen. And the surprise to you, this is my surprise to you. D. Will, you're going to love this. Check this out. Hancock has had a problem with Lonzo Ball's shot, right?
Still do.
All right, watch this, D. Will. What's your form?
The same.
Okay. Say it one more time.
The same.
The same form as Lonzo.
Yeah, they getting too analytical with it, man.
So he's a Laker fan.
Okay.
His only problem with Lonzo is saying, I don't know if he can get that shot off. I'm telling, listen, I brought a man in here who, this got to be the greatest perfect storm ever.
Yeah.
He has the same exact form, and I just told you, he could probably outshoot Steph back in his day. Okay? Could you please tell him how Lonzo can get his shot off? And explain to him how Lonzo Ball can get his shot off in the pros.
He's going to get it off because he's going to shoot it. I mean, it's really that simple,
man. Where my bell? Where my ding?
He's going to get it off because he's going to shoot it. He doesn't need to change his shot. I don't believe in changing a player's shot. I mean, he shot in the 40s as far as percentage in college. I mean, he played college at UCLA on a very big stage and a high level. I think today coaches – I mean, I heard Jeff Van Gundy talking about it the other night, and he also didn't think that he should change it. He didn't like it. He didn't, you know, like the way it looked or whatever. But I don't see where he's not going to be able to get his shot off, because he's a good enough player to get space and get his shot off. He's also a good enough player to come off of ball screens and still get his shot off. If someone's close to him, he's just going to put it on the floor. It's just like anybody else who deciding if they're going to shoot a jump shot off the defender closing out. I mean, and Lonzo's smart enough to be able to know if he has enough room or space to be able to get his shot off. I don't think it's going to be an issue at all.
So did Billy Tubbs talk to you about your shot when he recruited you? Was any talk about it, any assistant coaches? It was just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, we never even spoke about it. I mean, if he goes in, man, I mean, look at Sean Marion's shot. He's not even a really good shooter, but, I mean, no one ever changed it. You know what I mean? If you shoot and it goes in, I mean, I don't really care if you, like, flip it up.
Exactly. I mean,
like, if it goes in.
I still have my reservations. And being going from his right to his left, I'm just worried about him bringing the ball back to the defender.
I got you.
And that if he doesn't bring it back to the defender, then he's changing the shot. Because if he's coming that way and he doesn't go with his natural form, then he's coming from here. So he is changing his shot. What I'm saying is, I know in the NBA, we're at the highest level. And I know you said something about Marion, and I know we've talked about Kevin Martin. But these guys were not the primary ball handlers.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying about that. The thing about Steph is, Steph gets a shot off the dribble. He gets a shot off the standstill. He gets a shot off pin downs, off screens, whatever. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about Lonzo getting his off, getting when he has to get it off on his own.
Right.
And I noticed even in some games in the summer league that some of the bigger players kind of hinted the shot. If you know, he didn't shoot too well from the perimeter. Couple of games.
Some games, yeah.
But for the most part, his 3-point percentage was pretty low.
It was a 38.
Yeah, so I'm just worried about that. And it could have been that he just wasn't making the
shot. You realize 38% is good, right? If you get up volume. Because 33% is like shooting 50% from the
field. Yeah, I understand the analytics. And now we're talking analytics again.
No. But, yeah, well, yeah, you consider right, analytics.
Yeah, twos but, versus threes is what I mean.
Right, right. But yeah,
that's when the analytics come in.
Right, right.
And I'm pulling for him. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, no. I know you are.
I'm still a little worried about because I know when a coach says, we're going to take this away, they do it. Mm-hmm. The one good thing about him is, if you take that away, he might hurt you with his passing.
Where's my bell at? Ding!
That's the good thing about him. I love the way, I keep telling Harris, he advances the ball. Yeah.
Then he's not going to be trying to just force up shots.
Right,
he's
exactly.
only going to shoot when he's open, anyway. And he's pass first.
Can't take over, right. So, I mean, we'll see. I'm just a little worried about it. I'm a little more comfortable because I saw his overall game.
Gotcha.
You know, but... You know, it remains to be seen when the real bullets start to.
If he was a shooter, Hancock. If he was a shooter, if he was coming in as a, if we looked at him as a pure two, in a pure form of a two, I would have the same reservations as you. But he is a pure point guard.
Right.
He is not needed to get that shot off unless he needs to get his shot off.
Right.
And if he needs to get his shot off, like he said, like Coach said earlier, he's able to create space. He's able to do what he needs to do in order to get space and to get to his spots to get his shot off. That's the only reason I don't have. We're talking to Sean Marion was a 3-4 who was a slasher who had to get his own shot. Kevin Martin was a pure two guard.
Right.
So we haven't seen. He's a pure point guard. Yeah. That's the only reason I don't have issues.
Like I said, if I didn't see the rest of the game, I'd be more worried.
Right.
But I know he can do other things.
Right.
So and also, if you weren't a Laker fan, you wouldn't even care anyway.
No,
so.
You wouldn't.
All right, Keith. So what do we expect from Point University this year as, you know, the season is coming up?
Man, I'm telling you. I promise you I'm not just talking. From the season we had last year, being that it was Coach Slack and I's first season, not making any excuses. You know, we had some good pieces, but we had some things happen where we lost our top three players.
Okay.
And but now we have some kids in there that are going to be able to handle the academics because, first of all, that's what you're really here for, to make sure you get your degree. Mm-hmm. So we got some kids that can handle that can also really play. We've upgraded at every position. We're two or three deep at every position. Team out of our conference won a national championship last year.
Mm.
And after being there 1 year and seeing what's there, knowing the kids that we've worked hard, extremely hard, and using all of our connections in Atlanta to bring in, I feel really comfortable that we're going to have a big season and probably one of the biggest turnarounds, all levels included.
Okay.
From 1 year to the next.
Actually, somebody emailed me this. What type of offense do you guys run? Is it the pace and space now, since that's the kind of the thing that the NBA is kind of running to? So what kind of offense is Point University?
We're running a pace and space offense, and we're also running a read and react. You know, we like to just do concepts. We don't like to just tell a player, well, you got to go here and then you move there.
Right.
You know, it's
concept. Like the motion offense.
Right, motion, absolutely. But this year, we've upgraded in size a great deal, so we're going to be able to play either way. We're going to have to put some things in where we can just rebound and defend and bang you, or we can just go small and run you to death and shoot threes.
Hey, okay.
So we're very versatile this year, and we got a lot of depth at every position.
Okay, cool. So one of the questions that I think me, Hancock, and D. Will talked about last year is, and be political correct if you need to, but what happened at Georgia Tech, and the we thought we was trying to get the Georgia Tech of old. What happened at Georgia Tech?
Whew.
Other than recruiting.
Well, you just answered it. There you go. But, however,
okay,
I'm going to be fair about it. Coach Brian Gregory, people said a lot of things about him.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Brian Gregory is a great guy, and I'm not just saying that as far as, you know, just trying to say something.
Right.
He's a really good coach for his X's and O's. You understand what I'm saying? And he believed, like, you know, how Virginia ran their program, they would get, like, maybe not the top 20. They weren't getting those top 25 players.
Right.
They were getting, like, a lot of guys like Marcus George's Hunt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, top 50, top 75 mm-hmm. players, and those guys stayed 3 or 4 years, which we all know Marcus stayed 4 years.
Right.
And so, you know, Coach Gregory believed in that philosophy. However, and you can win that way. Like, if you notice, you never really got blowed out because he was really good coach at defense and rebounding. But the recruiting, we needed more of the staff to do more of what, you know, Coach Chad Dollar was doing. Like, Chad brought in Marcus Hunt and mm-hmm. Robert Carter, which were key players at Georgia Tech. You know, if, you know, the other part of the staff bring in
exactly
more, and then we could have had what Virginia had,
exactly,
about 5 or 6, because you're going to need about 5 or 6 of those players to compete with the North Carolinas and Dukes, because they'll be there their third and fourth year.
If you're because not getting that four-star blue chip,
there you go.
Because we've seen over the last couple of years in championships, it's been senior-lated,
right?
4-year players and things of that nature. The experience,
mm-hmm.
and if you're going to win, especially in ACC with that type of, you know, pedigree in ACC, you're going to have to find a different way to kind of win, because the Duke and the North Carolinas are getting 1-year players and they're leaving. So the chemistry throws off.
Right.
So your chemistry is a little more balanced throughout those 3 and 4 years.
Right.
So I get it and I understand it. I think we pretty much touched on the same thing is, you know, the recruiting and things of that nature, because, you know, of course, growing up in Atlanta, you want to see, you know, people on the flats, you know, win games and things of that nature. So
they need to find that dog, though.
Right.
I mean, it's good to have your four-year players, mm-hmm. three-year players, but a big-time blue-chip player can change
absolutely a
roster
absolutely.
Overnight. Yep. If you got a dog, he can change the whole thing. He might not be there, but he
is. Yeah.
But he can put you on the map.
All right, so this is my question to you. How do you like recruiting?
Oh, I love recruiting.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I got some events to go to this week, all the rest of this week.
Okay, well, I got a surprise for you, and I hope you can take this well.
You like Santa Claus.
Yeah, I'm just giving away toys, you know what I'm saying?
Monday
home. co-host D-Will, the coach, has a brother.
Okay.
Brian Williams.
Okay.
Who is a legend in Alabama.
Ooh.
And before we leave,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be your man.
Okay.
Facts.
Okay.
That's going to be your man.
I appreciate that.
D-Will, can we confirm that?
Facts.
Appreciate that.
He was just with Avery Johnson.
Is there
today.
Today.
Oh, okay, today. Cool.
Yeah, he was just
Avery done got it going.
Yeah.
So.
Do y'all have AUM on y'all schedule?
Excuse me?
Y'all have AUM on your schedule?
No.
Because I know that's an NAIA in Montgomery.
What about
Stillman? Is that right? Yeah. Stillman? No, we don't play Stillman. I know about Stillman.
What division are y'all in NAIA?
Two.
Division two NAIA. Right. Gotcha.
Okay. So
my sons are still playing baseball, though.
Yeah, I got players for you.
You got players?
I got players. You need players, I got players.
There you go. There you
go. Wait to work with you, man. Yes, sir. You're always looking for players, and then if I can get into Alabama, that'll be great.
You can lock Alabama down.
You can lock Alabama down.
Yeah, you can lock Alabama down. He the man, and his brother definitely is the man.
Oh, I believe him.
Yeah, so, all right, so I got some other questions that I want to ask you.
Okay.
That's not pertaining to Point University. I think you've given us, and you say y'all gonna win the championship this year, basically.
Pretty much.
Step out, Daddy.
There you go.
Step out.
But somebody emailed me and wanted to know the best player you played against in college.
Mm.
This
man, you know,
I'm going to say Travis Best.
Oh,
but I'm going to say that it's for someone in my position.
Okay.
Wow. That listen, we can't just let him skirt past that. That's a huge statement. If y'all don't know, Travis Best was a point guard that played at Georgia Tech. Left-handed. Mm-hmm. And let me tell y'all a quick story
from Massachusetts.
Let me tell you a quick story about when my brother was being recruited by Georgia Tech. When he came to Georgia Tech on his visit, Travis Best was his sponsor.
Wow.
Right? Took him around Atlanta. My brother was so drunk the next morning. We sitting at the table with Bobby Crimmins at breakfast. My stepmother tells him, baby, just go back to the room. He just sitting at the table like, he could not make it through. Listen, Bobby Crimmins is sitting across the room. He's sitting there like this.
Oh, that's crazy.
And she's like, baby, go back to the room. Hey, he's like, man, he's like, Travis Best took me down through it. Yeah. That was his exact word.
That's crazy.
Well, D. Scott say everybody go to Magic City when they come to
town. Everybody go to Magic City.
Let's see. What is this here? Okay. So you've moved through the ranks. You've been in the ACC, and then you're in NAIA school.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your ultimate goal or dream?
As far as in regards to basketball or in regards to
basketball, okay, coaching or whatever, well, basketball.
Basketball related, the ultimate goal for me is to be a head coach.
Okay, you have a dream job?
Of course a dream job would be at one of these Power Five.
There you go. There you can put it out there. Hey, listen, we got clout, so just put it out there.
We'll make sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Of course that would be the goal.
Okay.
But we all know, that's very difficult. I mean, not that I'm not capable.
I understand.
There's a lot of things you got to go through to get to that stage and get to that level. And, like I said, the ultimate goal is to be a head coach. But if I can be a head coach on a small college level, that would be great as well.
Impacting lives, though.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, man, we got about three. You got one?
Yeah, I got a couple of them, man. We can do this interview the rest of the show. But to be honest with you, what would you say is the biggest difference on coaching on a Division I level and coaching on a lower school level? Because a lot of kids get it confused because every kid coming out thinks, if I don't go D1 – I'm not doing anything. D1 is the only thing I want, and every kid is not a D1 player. So what would you say is the difference between coaching on the two different levels?
Man, that's the best question all night, and I'm really happy you asked that question because we have a problem right now with a lot of these kids don't understand that, the percentages of being able to go to D1 are almost the same percentages as the D1 players trying to make the NBA.
Yeah.
And so, but what they need to understand is that there are other levels that you can get scholarship or scholarship money or full scholarship or whatever that school offer you that may be D2, maybe NAIA, it may be even Division 3 give a little bit of money. You know what I'm saying? But these kids got it all in their head. We have a kid right now that we wanted to sign as a point guard, a really good player. He could play D1. I mean, he could be a D1 talent, but it's crowded. The game is crowded. You're trying to get in school. We had it where he wouldn't have to pay anything. Mm-hmm. So there was only two schools that offered the kid, and he said he was going to go with us. He kept stalling, and then he ended up telling us he's waiting for a Division 1 scholarship. Well, that kid is at home right now, and he doesn't have a scholarship. And this happens way more than people understand. This is going on. These kids got it in their head. I don't know if someone's lying to them or if they just don't get it, man. You have to go at the level that's interested in you. Because the bottom line is just to get the money for school, man.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Just a free scholarship.
Yeah.
And now he's out a year. Let's say he does play. He's missed a year of playing.
Absolutely.
And that hurts.
Yeah,
you
hurts
have
bad.
To play.
And you know why it hurts the
Absolutely.
Most?
You have to play.
Because it's
play.
Another kid graduating the very next year.
Yep. Whole new class.
A whole new class the very next year.
Whole new class, man. Yeah. You get forgot about it real quick, man.
Exactly. Go ahead and ask your next question, D-Will.
So with what is an ideal player for you, like when you go evaluate talent, do you evaluate talent like you just said? Do you evaluate talent as in this is a D1 prospect, or this is a player who we would be privileged to get? And how do you go about recruiting players? And what is an ideal player for Point University?
Right, that's a great question as well. It was tough for me at first because I was used to looking at a certain level of player. Not that our players are any lower, because a lot of times players that play on a lower level may be on a lower level because of their size. Mm-hmm. But skill wise, they may be just as good as the person on a higher level. But this guy's 6'5 doing what you're doing at 6'1. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time it's that. It's not so much of that they're just that much better. They just may be bigger, faster, stronger, taller. But as far as what I look for in a player, and for me, the first thing I look for is heart. Because where I come from, if you don't have no heart, I don't care if you're a good player. I'll play plenty of people that had more talent than me. But I had a lot of talent, but I had more heart.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So the first thing I look for is heart, and, attitude. How do they react with their teammates, and how they react to their coach when their coach is getting on them? Yeah, body language. Body language big. So, you know, and then, you know, are they going to be able to handle the academics? Because it's pretty embarrassing when you bring a kid to school and then they flunk out, because that reflects on me and my recruiting. You know, I was supposed to do that homework to see if they're capable of handling college work.
Yeah. I got one last question. As far as dealing with the parents, a lot of broken
exhale.
A lot of broken homes, a lot of single moms. Some people point you to the street agent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you view that, and what's the hardest part about that part?
That's a great question. That's tough. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's tough, man.
Yeah.
Because if they come from a broken home or a home where they haven't had a real strong male, and me being the person that I am,
right.
You know, I've changed a lot in my coaching. I try not, you know, I don't use profanity. You know what I mean? I try not to say anything negative to a player. I'll get on them,
right.
You know, but it's in a constructive way, telling you or making you believe in yourself that you can do better.
Right.
But, you know, if they didn't come from a home where they had a strong male figure, and then you got a coach saying things to you, it can be a conflict, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the parent, you know, college is a little bit different than high school as far as them being able to have say-so, but they still try.
Mm, okay. Cool. Go ahead.
Real quick, do you find an issue with, because I know you coached back in the last era, and now you're still coaching in this era.
Right.
Do you find it a difference in millennials and the different types of players coming up? Are the attitudes different where you see back in the – did you have to change – you say you changed your coaching style. Did you have to do that because of the player and you know who you're dealing with?
Right.
Because back in the day, we could take a lot more.
Right.
And nowadays, they don't have a lot of those figures, and it's you have to change the way you go at them, but you still have to be tough on them. How do you deal with that?
Man, once again, it's really tough. Man, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There are times, man, where, you know, I have to, you know, speak to myself in a positive language to myself.
Yeah. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, these new kids are different. You know, you say something to them and you get on them, they might take it more personal. Whereas me or us, you know, when we were playing, Coach Dollar, everybody know he was very tough.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love the game so much. When he get on me, I'd be like, all right, Coach, come on. You know, I'm just trying to get back in the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, Coach. You know, I'm trying to hear what he have to say. I just want to play, man.
And you might get home nowadays and have 140 characters about you.
See what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's tough. That's very tough.
You can't get physical with kids no more.
You can't.
That's the biggest thing.
Can't touch them.
Yeah, lock you up for that.
They do anything. All right, man. Keith, thanks, man. Hang around with us, because we're going to talk a little more NBA, so we'll talk some NBA next. So, but we're going to go to break, be our first in our first hour of the show. When we come back, we got G's Extra Credit. Then we're going to that Sports Roundtable discussion. We'll be right back. Listen to SRT, srtradio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peekville, AM 1100.
Worldwide Radio Network.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
What's up, Sports Roundtable listeners? This is Greg, a.k.a. G-Money, a.k.a. the man behind the glass for the SRT crew. Now, do you have a podcast or radio show you want to take to the next level? Are you a DJ looking for that special voice for your drops during your set? Are you looking for some narration for that big presentation? Do all of these apply, but you're on a budget? Well, come see me at Fiverr.com, Fiverr.com. I can do all of these and more, just starting at $5. That's it. $5. I know you got $5. So stop by Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. That's GREGHURD. Check out my demo and hit me up with an order so we can make that presentation, that pod, that drop really pop. Who knows? Maybe I can help you make a better show than Sports Roundtable. But don't tell the crew I said that, okay? Just that's between us. Fiverr.com/Greg Hurd. Hit me up and I hope to hear from you soon.
I'm Bruce Fabrizio, inventor of Simple Green, the iconic cleaning formula known around the globe. Try a Simple Green product today, and if you're not 100% satisfied, I'll refund your money. Visit us at simplegreen.com. Simple Green.
Okay, so where do more Americans turn first in the morning to start their day? Go on, tell them, Robin.
Good morning, America.
George.
Good morning, America.
Lara.
Good morning, America.
So, take it from Robin.
Put some good in your morning.
With ABC's Good Morning America.
Sports Roundtable.
Y'all remember the baseball player, the mute baseball player?
Yeah.
And his name was what? Can't get right. Blake Griffin is the new can't get right. He can't get right for every time the Clippers look halfway promising, Blake Griffin gets hurt. Blake Griffin punches his boyfriend, the little manager. So Blake Griffin is Mr. Can't Get Right.
On the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Yo.
What up?
We must be back with a new season, man.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
1100 AM.
That right?
We got Tiff, Hand in the building, H.O. and Coach. You now about to witness the strength of sports talk radio.
Lego.
I can read your mind. You know it's that time.
Hold up.
Boy, I'm so fly. I feel like Brent Grimes. About to kill the whole season, man. SRT got picks for days. Ain't no telling when I'm all in. Never stall in. Pass the ball in the LBJ. That's the King fam. Woo. Been bowling since Space Jam. New logo like the L.A. Rams. SRT next up. Big dog picks Devin Hester. And that's the word on the street. Tiff got me right like we run in the screen. Real talk. Okay, now I know what I mean. We causing the scene. SRT got what you want every week.
I ain't gonna say it.
What up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station. And the crew is in the building. Thanks for tuning in. What up, Atlanta? Thanks for tuning in for the second hour of the show. Thanks to Marquise Hicks, Coach Hicks in the building for dropping that knowledge, man. Letting y'all know what it takes to get in school, what it takes to play basketball and things of that nature. Got to believe in yourself, and you got to be around coaches that believe in you. So we will continue our conversation in the second hour of the show. But right now, we got to give you some secondary stories, and who's better to do that other than my main man, G Money? Let's go ahead and get to G's extra credit.
We know here on the Sports Roundtable that we leave you wanting more each and every week. Well, I, G Money, am here to help, to give you the info on the news you might have missed. This is G's Extra Credit.
All right, welcome to G's Extra Credit, brought to you by the time you hear this.com.
There you go.
We just did our 50th episode, so thank you for all the listeners. Okay, so these are stories you might have missed during this past week. Now, last year, the Cubs won the World Series, and it was the first time in 108 years. And there's probably people every year who bet on the Cubs winning the World Series. But there's been a report from Las Vegas sports books that people have not cashed in their bets.
Ooh.
Like, they won money for betting on the Cubs, but they didn't cash in their ticket. About 30% reported from Golden Nugget and CG Technology. They say these people haven't cashed in their bets. Some people bet about $100 or so, and then it comes out to about six-figure payouts.
Wow.
But people would rather keep the ticket, the voucher, for making the bet rather than cashing it in.
That's a you, big dummy.
Please. That has to be the dumbest. How much? You say a six-figure payout, they don't go pick it up because they want the ticket.
Right. They want to keep the
memorabilia. They want to keep the ticket as a
dummy.
Yeah, that's great.
And there are expiration dates on these bets, so even people want to cash in now, they can't.
Wow.
Oh, so they can't even go get their money now.
Right. Because it expired.
Is there any team to where if they won a championship, they're like, you know what? I'm going to keep the ticket for making the bet rather than cash in on it. Is there any team you would do that for?
No. Absolutely not.
Hell no.
That's crazy.
All right. Next story. This was another story to where someone lost some money, but it wasn't their fault. It wasn't like, I'm going to hold out. It wasn't their fault. So there was a woman in Winnipeg, and she could have won $1 million if in one CFL game there were two kickoffs for touchdowns. There was one, and then with the second one was called back for a penalty. Has anything like that ever like cost you any money or caused you to lose something?
Every week.
Yeah, I was gonna say about every weekend.
Every week.
Good football season.
Yeah. Holding.
Yeah, that's happening.
Offense. Left tackle. Yeah, it happens all the time.
So she in the game she only got there's credit for one. There was one kickoff return, so she ended up with the consolation of $25,000.
Hold on.
A home theater package worth $25,000.
Hold on. Time out. What kind of bet is she making that you bet if it's one kickoff, you get $25,000?
Those are prop
bets. I know it's a prop bet, but that's a hell of a prop.
Oh, it's a contest.
It was like a sweepstakes to where
she
got the chance to win $1 million if there were two kickoff returns in the game.
Okay.
But one was called back for a
penalty. I was going to say, I'll take that prop bet every day.
Yeah.
What?
So.
$1 million?
Yeah. Another story from the Olympics. Gil Roberts, who was he won a gold medal last year in the 4x400 relay. He was tested positive for a drug from the Olympics. But it was reversed by an arbitrator who upheld his defense that the drug was in his system due to frequent and passionate kissing of his girlfriend.
So hello.
The girlfriend.
Hello. Boy, I tell you.
What she got in her mouth?
So she was taking a drug called Moxilong, and it was for a sinus infection when she was working in India. And it's a masking agent for track athletes. So because she was taking the medication and he didn't know she just took it and then they were just kissing.
Oh,
all the time.
I'm selling this. You are not going to get me to buy this, man. Stop it.
It kind of reminds me of there was an offensive lineman for the Texans who tested positive with the NFL. And his defense was he ate some bad beef in Mexico. They bought that, so he wasn't suspended. So,
well, your boy did it. What's the defensive lineman?
DeMarcus?
What was the defensive lineman that got suspended because his wife was taking fertility drugs? He played for the Colts.
Robert Mathis.
Yes, he got suspended because his wife was taking fertility drugs and it showed up in his blood. So he said that's how it got in his system.
Yep.
That's wow. Alabama A&M for you.
This was a big story last summer for a lot longer than it should have, but Ryan Lochte has been cleared of charges of a false report during that quote-unquote robbery.
How were you clear and you lied saying somebody robbed you and then you say they were black, too? Matter of fact.
I bet he had to cut his hair.
But
when he got caught, it was dyed silver. He dyed it back brown when he had to go on TV and do that interview.
Real quick.
Wow.
All right. And the last story we have is there was a man posing as the singer Adele's manager to get free shoes from NBA players. A guy posing as Adele's manager, he got shoes from Carmelo Anthony, Russell Westbrook, Bismack Biyombo, Paul George. In exchange, he would give them concert tickets to Adele shows, but he wasn't really her manager.
So were they actually getting the tickets?
Yes.
So he was just bartering.
But then he would auction off the shoes and then make a profit off of that, but he had no association with Adele whatsoever.
That's just clever marketing. I ain't know him for that. Listen, that's they fault for believing what he said.
Right.
I ain't blaming him.
All right, so that's going to do it for G's Extra Credit, brought to you by the time you hear this.com, give you the stories that you may have missed last week.
Hey, G, appreciate that, man. That's hilarious. Thanks again for that. G, you come up with some good uns, as your granddaddy would say. Come up with some good uns. Well, now it's time to really get down to some talking. So, G, let's go ahead and jump straight into that round table discussion.
The round table discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion sponsored by Jay's Used Cars. If you're looking for a new pre-owned or a used car, please go over to our friends at Jay's Used Cars, 3820 Lawrenceville Highway, Tucker, Georgia. Go to jaysusedcars.com for the inventory. If you mention SRT Sports Roundtable, you get 10% off your down payment. Shout out to my main man, James Forrest, man. He on Facebook Live checking us out. He said, what's up, Big H-O, and what's up, Kiki for three. Hey, listen, got to have the best name, basketball name ever. Kiki for three.
That's a dope nickname.
That's right.
He had the Letterman jacket.
Yeah, that's right.
He had the Letterman jacket. Kiki for three.
That's right.
You know, so if you go around town, somebody say Kiki for three, you know who they talking about. You know what I'm saying?
And you know they from Atlanta.
You know they from the A, baby, you know. So, shout out to James, man. We got to get you on the show. We got to get the big dog on the show. Actually, he was Travis' best roommate at Georgia Tech.
Oh, wow. So, I'm pretty sure.
So he was probably part of that.
Yeah, he
was
kicking that
night. Yeah, he
was
kicking it that night, too. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, he go hard anyway. All right. So, Keith, let's talk about the summer league, man. We're going to get you in on that summer league. Your thoughts on the Lakers winning the summer league championship. I know you're a Laker fan, so, you know, you ain't got to put a lot of hot sauce on this.
Well, I mean, like my man said earlier, it's just good that the Lakers are going in a positive direction. You know, for the first time in a couple of years, I actually feel excited about what they got going on. And, you know, with Lonzo Ball coming in, I feel like he's the type of guy that's going to not only make his teammates better, but also be a good locker room guy.
Because
He came right in the door, you know, complimenting Brandon Ingram.
Yep.
And the guys like to play with him. I think that was the difference between him and D'Angelo Russell and why Magic made that decision.
Right.
He probably won't snitch on folks.
Right.
That might help.
That'll help a little bit.
Hey, D-Wiz, you're going to like this question right here. Take this out. All right, Key. We have some great point guards coming out in this draft.
Okay.
That's all we talked about throughout the year. Hancock is not as... He don't watch college basketball until March Madness, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still collecting his fruit cups in the NBA. he in the Lakers. But me and D. Will, of course, we basketball heads and college basketball heads. And we had...
Well, tell him why I'm not into basketball. Like,
well,
back in the day, I was.
See, there you go. He's old school at heart.
Yeah, right. He's old school at heart, basically. You know.
Yeah.
So we had Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith, Markelle Fultz, and what's my other point guard?
Dennis
Smith, Ball, Fultz, and
Fox. Out of those four, how would you rank them four? One through four.
That's tough, but I would go Ball.
Uh-huh.
Fultz. Who's up to Fox and who?
Dennis Smith. NC State.
Fox.
And Smith.
And people will argue with that because, you know, Smith had a really great summer league, and I think he's going to be a big-time player in the NBA. However, I like those other guys just a little bit better. That doesn't mean that I don't think Smith is going to be great.
Right, right. Well, I mean, if he's in the conversation, obviously that's,
I think New York made a big mistake.
They sure did.
Yeah.
They should have got that kid. He was set to guard on five.
Yep. I think you're absolutely right.
It would have been a great fit for him.
And the thing about this is, and I think, D-Will, you can co-sign on this, is Smith and Ball are going to get the minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Markelle may get some minutes, but they kind of like want to use Ben Simmons as more of a playmaker and use Markelle as more of a scoring guard. But these guys will have the ball in their hands most of the times with Dallas and the Lakers. So I would expect these two to be.
You don't think Fox is going to have the ball a lot?
Well, yeah, I think he will, but not like these two. Hard to say for that.
I'm
not knocking what you say. I'm just trying to.
For sure, you know these two go have the ball from day one. Fox, I think, you know, I think they still trying to make sure that he's very speedy, very fast, but there's a scoring mentality somewhat other than a pure point guard. He's not a playmaker. He's not a playmaker like those other two guys are, I would say.
You think that's why they brought in George Hill?
Yeah, and there's another thing that, you know.
I think they had to spend some money.
Yeah. They did have to spend some money, but I'm kind of in the car with the Big H O on this one. I don't think Sacramento is ready to just give the car to Fox and say drive.
Right.
I believe they brought in a veteran presence because of. Now, with Rick Carlisle, I really believe they're going to get a ball to Dennis Smith Jr. from
and
day
just,
one.
And day one, just go.
Yeah, they already said they were.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the same as for Lonzo Ball.
I understand what y'all are saying, but I don't see any detriment to giving him. Look, it's not like you got a Benz or Bugatti that he gonna wreck.
Right.
Ain't nothing happening in Sacramento.
Oh no, we're not arguing the point.
I would if I'm just saying.
Yeah,
if it was me, yeah.
Hit the keys, man.
Yeah, I'll give him
go because you gonna only get better playing.
Right.
And I just don't know why you would put any kind of hold on letting him play.
I think he has a chance to be a star.
I could see if his game was gonna be like what? Who you said they brought in?
George Hill.
He doesn't play like George Hill. He's going to play more like John Wall.
There you go.
So push it. Let him go.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that. And I see what you're saying. Now that you said that, when I see it, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
But I was just saying.
Oh, yeah. Ain't no doubt. Because to me, why would you sign him?
Right.
Why would you take him that high?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I let him go.
So right. Now let's talk about this Kentucky reunion. the Pelican signs Rajon Rondo to go along with DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. Now, does that propel them? Now, you know how well he played in the playoffs, at least the first two games.
Right.
Rondo did. Could that propel the Pelicans up the West to get maybe 5 or 6 in the playoffs?
And here's the thing about it. If you're getting first two games against Boston in the playoffs, Rajon Rondo, that's a resounding yes. All right? You hear what I'm saying? But if you're getting Rondo of the last pre-Sacramento, because the light switched on to him when he went to Sacramento 2 years ago. And then he had a good year in Chicago last year. Now, if you're getting that Rajon Rondo, yes. But here's the thing about it. Rajon Rondo's not going there to start. He's not going to be the starting point guard. They already have that in Drew Holiday. And they just paid Drew Holiday this offseason. Yeah. So,
I can see them playing both of them.
Well, I can see them play.
Drew Holiday can play the two guards.
Drew Holiday can play off the ball because he can score.
Because they don't have a shooting guard right now.
They don't.
That's where I can see that it works.
And it may. But my thing is, I know we kind of used this analogy earlier, they're not giving the keys to the car to Rondo. You see what I'm saying? The keys to the car are already in the hands of Drew Holiday.
Right.
And Drew understands, if I'm going to drive, I better make sure I'm dropping off DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis first. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And Rondo is a pass-first point guard, it fits exactly that mold. Mm-hmm. But my thing is, if you get the wrong Rondo, if he's not motivated, he could be a cancer. He can be. So with them having Holiday, I believe that gives them a little bit of a cushion and a safety net bringing in Rondo.
Key, how do you see that situation going in Pelican land?
I worry about Rondo and DeMarcus Cousins socially.
Ooh.
In New Orleans.
Ooh. That would be my biggest issue with that deal right there.
Is that because there's stuff to do?
No, I mean, not so much New Orleans, but Rondo and Rondo's personality mixing with DeMarcus Cousins' personality. We all know Rondo has butted heads, you know, with guys and DeMarcus Cousins. We all know what he can be.
But he still didn't invite Ray Allen to the varsity when they had a weekend get together.
I'm not sure if I would. I don't know. Yeah, I let him back in. Reluctantly.
The report has been that Cousins wanted Rondo to come to New Orleans.
Oh, okay, so that would be great.
So they were friends in Sacramento.
Gotcha.
It was just it's Sacramento, so it was a terrible situation.
But they had some issues also.
They did have issues.
Look, I saw a couple of times with Rondo. He went to get Rondo dab and Rondo walked away from him. So I've seen some issues there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much worried about that. Mm-hmm. I'm still worried about the chemistry between he and AD.
Right, that's the issue too.
Because, I mean, what they're trying to do is make AD a perimeter guy. And I think what you need to do. You remember how when we say about Michael Vick, they said you try and make him something that he's not. You just put him and let him, if the play breaks down, let him run. Don't force him to be the runner. Let him run from a broken play.
Right.
And I think what they're doing with AD is trying to make him a perimeter guy. Mm-hmm. They making him shoot a lot from, you know, from way out to three and stuff.
He's not 6'2 anymore.
Exactly. Right. His game, yeah, he can shoot it, but his thing needs to be where he's dominating on the block, running the floor, blocking shots, doing that type of thing. Not trying to make him Kevin Durant.
Right.
He's not that.
But can you, and I understand, and I believe in New Orleans, I believe the thing they should do, and we need to get on Doc Martin. He's a player personnel in New Orleans. He could probably come talk to us a lot better on this.
Okay.
But he, I believe they need to play one type of way. And they need to play positionless. Because both AD and DeMarcus are great back-to-the-basket presences, but they also can stretch the floor. So I believe they need to play positionless basketball, meaning when they run, whoever goes first goes to the post first. All right? Whoever, not okay, AD, you stop and hang. DeMarcus, you go to the block. It needs to be, they're going to have to just run and alternate.
And it was almost a KD Russ situation when you watched them last year. Because had a big game, AD struggled.
Yep.
If AD had a big game, Cousins struggled.
Okay.
So one thing I do like is that having Rondo, I think he'll get the offense maybe moving a little more and maybe get them into better situations.
Some better balance.
So I think he can do that.
He's a better point guard. Exactly. Point guard than Drew Holiday.
Exactly.
Right.
Getting that going.
He's needed for them to gel a little better.
Yeah,
right.
The gelling of them two would be a little smoother if they had somebody who understands, a veteran who understands where to get get them the ball. Well, speaking of AD, that's Anthony Davis. A resounding reports are coming out again this week about Boston head over heels and trying to get Anthony Davis. Okay?
Woo.
So now, this is the deal, G. They saying they could possibly trade Jason Tatum, two first round picks, and another player, maybe Marcus Smart, somebody, for Anthony Davis. Would you do that deal?
He's from Boston.
Can you take the little fella?
Yeah. Can you put Isaiah Thomas in?
See, because I like, as we've said before, I like Isaiah if he's a sixth man.
Right.
He's some other bit.
Yeah.
But he is not the guy to be the lead dog on that team. If you can work out something and move Isaiah and bring something back, and you have AD and to build around with Gordon Haywood, then we got something. You know, I think we work from there, but Isaiah's just too small.
What do you think?
Six man thing.
Well, you see, like, they with the picks that they have, I think they have the one that they still have a Nets pick. Mm-hmm. That's why the Nets are trying to be as good as they can now. Right. And I think they have one of the Kings picks. That's why they went and got Vince Carter and Zach Randolph and some other adults. So it would be, I don't think anything's going to happen now. I mean, I would stand if Boston tried to make that trade now, because they might trick somebody into taking those picks. And then they're actually like mid first round.
Right.
But if they can't make something until after the end of the season, it's going to be even harder for them to make that trade down the line, because those picks will be mid round picks if the Nets and Kings are any, if they're halfway.
The Nets and Kings won't be any good this year, so they whoever's getting those picks won't have to worry about that.
Well, the Nets both are in the East now.
Well, that's still going to suck. They're going to be very bad. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA. And but here's the thing.
They'll make the move for the trade deadline if New Orleans is struggling.
It's struggling. They will be. But I'm going to tell you like this, if I'm Boston, I'm not getting rid of Jason Tatum. Okay, listen, everybody in this room and everybody on the waves and on the internet, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I wouldn't trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis. I would do that in a heartbeat. Okay. But if I'm with Hand on this, if I'm packaging a deal for Anthony Davis, I'm putting Isaiah Thomas in it. Absolutely. Not only does it sweeten the deal because he's an established player,
right?
All right, but I'm not trading Jason Tatum. The kid is going to be a star. So why would you trade away a potential star, even though you're getting Anthony Davis back, and you still got this little dude on your roster killing your squad?
Yep.
Isaiah Thomas is killing the squad of the Boston Celtics. And listen, go back to the archive shows. 5 years ago, I said Isaiah Thomas is not that guy. And he averages 30. And I'm going to tell you today, he's still not that guy. Okay?
Six man would be great.
He's great. So package him. Package him. And listen, Boston, what's his, Danny Ainge, do not trade Jason Tatum. And Big Ho, get the doggone smile off your face because I'm talking about a dookie. But listen, you do not trade Jason Tatum.
Well, before we go to Key, listen, one caveat or one thing to what y'all are saying is, if they don't trade Isaiah Thomas this year, he's due for $204 million next year. And I'm G.
Deuces. I'm itching.
He's due for $204 million next year. So are you going to wrap $204 million into a guy?
They won't max him out. They won't max him out.
I wish G could play back what I said about. What's my man name? What?
John Wall?
No.
Otto Porter.
Oh, Lord. I guarantee that's the next commercial. I guarantee.
So, yeah, that's going to be the next commercial.
I would not pay Isaiah Thomas $200 million.
No, me either.
I'm sorry.
Me either.
So, Key.
Can we get a consensus in the room on that?
Oh, no. Nah, yeah.
I wouldn't get
that. Not Isaiah. Yeah. Not the old Isaiah Thomas.
I'll pay him today before I pay the new one.
Old Isaiah, the first Zeke.
The real Zeke.
That's what I'm talking.
Now, Isaiah Thomas has said that if the Celtics will have to offer a max contract for him to stay.
Oh, stop it.
So
stop
can let him walk.
Yeah.
Somebody get him over.
Let him walk.
Get him over.
All right, Key, your thoughts on Boston and trying to get Anthony Davis with that package deal. Would you take it, or are you with the fella saying that you wouldn't package Tatum, but maybe Isaiah? Because you got to look not just this year, but the year after and the year after that,
right.
You know, and things of that nature.
I would definitely go for Anthony Davis if I felt like we could get him without giving up too much. I think they might. I agree that, you know, I wouldn't really want to trade Tatum. I agree that I think that Tatum's got a
great upside.
I mean,
yeah.
Great upside.
Right. You know
what I'm saying? I think he has the potential to be a star. However, I think Boston, in Boston's eyes, they may be looking at the fact that, you know, Jaylen Brown can fill that spot.
Where my bell at?
Ding! You know what I mean? They might be thinking that, you know, they can let Tatum go to get someone like Anthony Davis because they, you know, have a young player with Jaylen Brown right here from Atlanta that can fill that void or whatever. So that might be what they're thinking.
Then you just signed Gordon Hayward. And all three of them basically play the same position.
Yeah. So you don't draft three to sit on the bench.
Right.
Or not to start. So
I'm not trading Jason Tatum.
It's a tough situation for Danny Ainge to be in.
It's a good tough subject.
Another reason why the Celtics, why they're not trading, they haven't traded Isaiah Thomas yet, he's only going to be making $6.2 million, which is about $500,000 more than Jason Tatum. So,
he's only making $6 million this year.
He didn't come there as a start. He came in as a throw-in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But because of his success, made All NBA team. He's made All Star teams. So now he may believe that he deserves a max contract.
So let me give it in layman terms what G is saying, so all the listeners and all the non sports people can understand what he just said. Basically, Isaiah Thomas will be making more than his height.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Wow, you went there.
He went there. We're gonna have the whole little people community calling up there.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. Whole little people community.
Alright, now since I guess someone took the job in New York. I forget the GM name from
It don't matter.
Sacramento.
Hey, no, let's give
Scott
them
Perry.
Yes, let's give them props. They brothers. Hey, brothers.
Well, now
what's the president's name? The new president is Scott Perry, the GM, and the other one is who? Both of them brothers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For the name,
Steve Mills.
Yeah, Steve Mills. Yeah, wow. Both of them brothers.
Congratulations.
Well, well, this is the thing now. So now they saying that Carmelo may stay in New York.
Oh. And he came out today, report breaking news.
He said they wanted him to stay.
Yeah, they offered him. He came out today and said, I'm not staying. Send me to Houston.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but
he said he wants to go to Houston.
That's the only team on the list.
Only team on the list.
Phil Jackson devalued his, you know, devalued him right. by saying all the negative. Yeah,
he
whatever.
Sure did, man.
And he messed up the situation where mm-hmm. they would have been in a position of strength.
Right.
Now it's like with Carmelo wanting to go and all this kind of stuff, it looks like, well, you need to get rid of mm-hmm. him. I'm not going to give you anything mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. Let us just get him for this situation. Or whatever. So they don't have any bargaining power.
And they can't buy him out because they owe him $56 million. You can't buy out $56 million.
They're trying to at least get Cleveland back interested so they'll have some kind of value with them.
And
I fit two teams against
them. And I agree, but I don't think Melo will go to Cleveland. I don't think he'll waive that trade clause.
With LeBron, right?
Yeah, I don't think he wants to do that. I really don't.
For how much money, though?
Exactly, because he has 56 on the books. Why would I go there for? Because they're going to have to pay a veteran minimum, which is $5
million. Yeah, he'll have to get bought out to go to Cleveland.
Exactly.
If he's not getting bought out.
He'll be bought out, but, I mean, he's still going to get some of that money from New York. It won't be like he'll get it all, but if they buy him out, they'll get some of that.
Well, if they buy him out, they're going to have to give him all $56
million. I don't think he'll get all $56 million.
He's going to do like Stephon Marbury.
Well, if he get bought out, he ain't going to get all that. No, he won't get all that.
Well, I'm saying they'll settle for what? 38, 40?
Yeah, something like
he's
that.
He's not going to take a $16 million pay cut is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Carmelo Anthony has a no-trade clause, so he is not going to get bought out for anything less than $56
million. And then right. he might be in New York. Yeah. See, that's the thing. Yeah. He might have to stay in New York.
Well, let's talk about what could have been. Well, first of all, let me give props to my main man, Hancock. If you got a new article up on srtradio.com, please go check it out. Go to srtradio.com. It is an article that is titled Say What? And that is about Michael Vick and Colin Kaepernick. So please check that article out.
Well, you was on it, wasn't you?
Man, yeah, as soon as the story came out, me and G Money got an email. We were like, okay.
Struck a nerve, man.
Exactly. But what could have been, and this is a report, I can't remember the source. It's on our website, but Golden State turned down an offer to get Paul George for Klay Thompson. It's on our website.
Smart.
Very brilliant.
Yes. Smart move.
Fellas, I want to get your thoughts on the key. I'll start with you.
It sounds good. You know, I mean, Paul George is a great player. He is. But I think Klay Thompson fit that team better.
Yeah.
And he's just because he's like a pure shooter. Paul George is a really good shooter. Klay Thompson is a pure shooter, and he's mostly just designed to, you know, to come off the screens. He can go off the dribble too, but they don't really need Paul George dribbling.
Right. And Paul George will be a free agent after next year, and Klay has two more years.
Yeah.
So you have a chance to have two more rings
right
before that. So, Hancock, your thoughts on what could have been?
I mean, I do like what Paul would have given them, except for the pure scoring, pure shooting. The defense he would have given them and, you know, a little bit more versatility, maybe, you know, on the wing or whatever, because Klay is just not as athletic as he is. But in a Golden State's offense, that's not really what you really need.
Right.
They need spacing. Because you have KD and Steph are automatic. You're going to get 40 points out of them tonight. And when Klay's on, nobody else has to score. You got three people that can carry the whole team. So it's just an abundance. It's too much to let go. I think in the chemistry that they developed just one year night. I just don't think you mess with it. It's the best move they made since they didn't make the Kevin Love deal.
Right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I totally agree. It comes a point where too much is too much.
Right.
All right. You can overdo it because Paul George is more in the mold of a Kevin Durant than he is a Klay Thompson. All right. If you're going to bring in a Paul George, you're basically saying you're the face of my franchise. Mm-hmm. Now, the only person I know with heads coming out their head is Medusa. You know, you can't have three heads as your, you can't have three faces as the face of your franchise.
Right.
Okay, because Paul George is a bona fide superstar. Mm-hmm. All right, he is not. Listen, and when we talk superstar, we're not just talking on the court, we're talking off the court. Mm-hmm. Paul George is very marketable. Mm-hmm. He has one of the top selling shoes at Nike. Okay, he is one of the best players in the league on the court. And if you, and I don't know if y'all know, but he's taking them down through it. Mm-hmm. When he walk in the streets.
Yeah.
Listen, if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, Paul George gets it in. All right, he on the level of a Lou Williams. You dig what I'm saying? He might have two.
Yeah.
You
dig? Of Billy G.
Yeah, he on Magic Johnson. So Paul George, listen,
ain't nothing PG
about him. You dig what I'm talking about? There's nothing PG
13 either.
Hey, ain't nothing PG 13. So listen, Paul George is a superstar all the way around. So bringing him into the mold of a Golden State when you just added a Kevin Durant and you already have a superstar and stuff. Like, and then the other thing is, when you bring him in, he is not a Klay Thompson. Klay can go the entire finals. Mm-hmm. He averaged 14 points mm-hmm. in the playoffs and was okay.
It was okay.
Okay?
Yeah. It still did his job on D.
Still right. did his job. Now, I'm not saying Paul George wouldn't do his job,
right.
but Paul George is not effective scoring 14 points a game, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Paul George is effective scoring 25 plus.
25 is
okay,
that, is that.
So if it's too much can be too much, basically. So that's the great move on their part. It didn't mess up the chemistry because bringing in Kevin Durant last year, you brought in the guy.
Right.
So you're going to bring in another guy? Come on, that's just a little too
AG
much.
AG Money, I don't know if you noticed it, but let me see if I can break this down. We're going to go layman's terms again for all the listeners, okay?
All right.
All three guys said that it was a no-go. They wouldn't agree, right?
Right.
All three of our guys are Laker fans, right? am I right?
G-Money.
Hit me, hit that for me, G-Money. Hit that. Thank you.
And we all know Paul George going to L.A. next year. What is going on?
Hey, listen, it's a conspiracy theory in New Air.
Oh, but, hey, Paul George has had three lawyers in the building.
Yeah. Hey, hire us.
Yeah, just too much out there, Paul. Come on,
Paul. Hey, Paul. 3 points, that's one shot on that contract. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, we'll take them points.
Yeah. Ball going to get you about 10 more shots a game. Come on over here, man.
Come on.
Because Luol Deng would not be in L.A.
They showed, during the Summer League Championship game, they showed the Lakers roster as currently constructed, right? They showed the guards, they showed the wings, and they showed the bigs. They had Luol Deng's name as the last wing player on the list. They had Brandon Ingram ahead of him. They had Jordan Clarkson ahead of him. Like, they had everybody ahead. They had him as the... So, you know for a fact, Luol Deng is out in L.A.
Yeah. Yep, he's out. All right, fellas, let's get to the Summer League. Your Summer League first team players. Summer League first team players. And I'll go first. We're going to have to speed this up a little bit because I think somebody coming in at 9. But I'm going... Ball, Smith, Tatum, Kuzman, and Swanigan.
Okay.
Not a bad list. Mm-hmm. Josh Jackson is missing, but, you know, I just think Tatum was showed out better. Mm-hmm. So, once again, I'm going Ball, Smith, Dennis Smith, Jason Tatum, Kyle Kuzman, and Craig Swanigan. Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah. Biggie.
And outside of that, you know, I was kind of impressed with Collins.
Yeah, he was. But I'm going to tell you like this. I got some of the same as you. I got Ball, I got Smith, I got Tatum, I got Kuzma. But I have a argument with the MVP of the Summer League.
Okay.
The MVP of the Summer League, and his name has just escaped me, but is the rookie from Louisville that played for...
Utah?
No, he didn't play for Utah. I need to look him up, but he's from Louisville.
What position?
A two guard.
Donovan Mitchell.
That's Utah. That's Utah. I ain't know who that. Listen, he led this Summer League in scoring. He averaged 28 points a game.
Yeah.
And he is out of nowhere. And
ACC, he was.
Yeah. What I'm just saying, he wasn't a high.
He was overshadowed.
He was a first round pick, but he wasn't a lottery pick. Let me say that. So, but I'm gonna tell you, I saw an interview with Rick Pitino earlier pre draft. He said Donovan Mitchell was going to be Rookie of the Year. And what he showed in the summer league, if he's able to take that scoring ability and prowess to, into the league, he probably will be next year's Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, bye-bye, Gordon Hayward.
Bye-bye.
All right, Key, what you got?
I got Lonzo Ball, Dennis Smith Jr. I got Kuzman, Jason Tatum, and Swanigan.
There you go. Hey.
I got four of the possible.
Four of the possible.
Yeah, I got Ball, Tatum, Smith, Kuz. Y'all can throw that last one in because I didn't see nobody else.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell was
His stats, I saw him, but I didn't see him play.
Oh, man. Shot-making ability.
I didn't see him.
Yeah, he's a good defender, too.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. And he's a lot bigger than he shows up on the court. Mm-hmm. He looks a little, because I don't think he got a neck. You know, he one of them no-neck people. No, you know, he Roland Martin. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Just got head, just sit on his shoulders. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, he's a lot bigger than what he shows on the court.
Hey, G, I got a special thing I'm about to do real quick. And I guess we'll need to start doing this for all our guests, but I got some SRT fun bag questions for you, Key, that I want you to answer. This is just a little fun part of the show.
Let's see.
This is just a little fun of the show. So I got four questions for you.
Okay.
All right. So name me a song that made you fall in love with hip hop. Back in the day, name me the song that made you fall in love with hip hop.
That Run DMC song, that 1983 little white tape with the black writing on it.
Suck MC.
Suck
MC with mine. It's like that.
Yeah, it's like that.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's like, okay. All right.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Name me the day or event or something that happened that made you fall in love with basketball.
Oh, wow. When I stopped shooting in the wrong basket. Man, I was shooting in the wrong basket my first year. You know, guys were laughing. You know how it is. You in the hood playing. We with the tough guys. So they laughing. Man, I came back the next year, and I was the best player, right, at the gym.
There you go.
So they weren't laughing no more, man. But I figured out why I used to put it in the wrong basket. It was just like I really didn't know the rules yet and being nervous and shy and timid.
At least he was making
confidence. Yeah.
Hey, when nobody, hey, ain't nobody down here, I'm going to go shoot down
there. There you go.
Exactly.
Just scared and hurry up and throw it back up.
All right. If you can do it all over again coming out of high school, what would you do different?
Oh, man, you cornered me.
Yeah, man, really, that's how we do.
Yeah, keep it PG. Let me be the one to go crazy.
Not that I was going to not be PG, but like Coach Dollar has done a lot for me.
Exactly.
You understand? That's
I agree.
To this day, and Chaz, you know, right, one of my best friends, exactly, for me as well. But sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I'd have went to high school in my own area, you know, with my friends,
okay,
to play, you know, because I was a point guard coming up through, you know,
right,
the ranks, and then when Coach Dollar got our team, I was a two guard.
Right.
And so, you know, that I felt like that was a lot of reason.
So it was more like I wonder what I would have done. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair. Let's see. All right, so let's go ahead and answer this. Back in the day in your prime, do you think you could have outshot Steph Curry?
I talk to people about this a lot. And I know people don't get it, you know what I mean? Because Stephen Curry is the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
You know, I think he's the best ever.
Right.
You know, and he's doing it on a pro level, you know, and I've never had the opportunity, you know, I've had tryouts and, you know, and I was good enough to play. But, you know, back then they were going by position.
Mm-hmm.
And these days, if you could shoot like I was shooting, then you'd probably get a shot.
Exactly.
No matter.
Shot. Yeah. Yeah. But with all that being said, I mean, man, we right there the same, man, because those trick shots that Curry be making that people, like, it looked like bad shots, like, man, I was doing that a long time ago.
Exactly.
Like, people wasn't doing that, like, coming down and 1-on-0 or 1-on-3 and then shooting a 3. Those are technically bad shots.
Right.
But I was shooting those a long time ago, and I think that's why people were kind of wild, because nobody was really doing that.
Right.
You come down on a break, you know, you got to
do what's right. One, you,
yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go look up the roster and get the Point University roster and play this interview for the kids. Mm-hmm. So when he snap on his kids, we're coming down 1-0 and taking the three. But like your coach did it.
Hey, but when I shot 40-something, if you can shoot 45% and you average 4.5 threes a game, you can shoot any shot you want.
Hey.
Now, let me ask you this before we go in. We talk about how defenses just don't. You can't play defense the same way. You're taught to get back on the break to protect the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And now when you're playing Golden State, mm-hmm. they run into the three. So it doesn't that – how do you teach your kids to rethink basketball?
Right. You got to – first of all, with that, you got to sprint your butt off to get back on the other end. And you want to sprint back to the paint and then
close out.
You get what I'm saying? Because, you know, even if they do hit the three, you want to be able to get a hand up. But you don't want to be doing like Cleveland was doing, running out to the three and guys going beeline to the basket.
Right.
Just slamming the ball. I mean.
So it just seems like that's so frustrating because growing up playing basketball, it's everything that I was taught about basketball. It's pretty much after one. Mm-hmm. Point guards now pound the ball forever.
Mm-hmm.
And what were we taught? Move the ball.
Right.
Point guards were supposed to get the ball up.
Evolution.
it's like basketball is a different. That's why I say everybody talks about you're not ready to play NBA unless you go to college for 2 years. And nobody's ready to play NBA basketball.
Right? No,
nobody.
Not right away.
Nobody.
Not right away.
So really, to me, it just doesn't matter. So if you had a kid right now, mm-hmm. and the rules were different, that you could come right out of high school, and he was top 10 pick, what would you tell him?
He was going to be a top 10 pick. He would have to take it. Because, you know, and the reason I say that is because, you know, there may come a time you may get hurt where you don't have the opportunity to make that type of money. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to put school away or anything, but you can always come back to school because you can pay for it. Yeah. You know, you don't turn away tens of millions of dollars because you go to college to get your degree, your education, so you can get a career job or run your own business. I mean, you know, the money, you got to take it.
I agree.
Yeah, my man Keith. All right, one more question before we wrap things up for you, man, in the SRT fun bag. Let me see. What was it? All right. Here we go. If you could put together a hit record, hit record, which two or three rappers or people would you have on your hit record?
Dead or alive?
It don't matter.
I would have Tupac, I would have Biggie, and I would have Nas as my rappers.
Mm. Tupac, Nas, and Biggie. Hit record.
Right.
That's a hit record.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
Hit record.
That's a hit.
Yeah.
Super hit.
Yeah.
Especially
my man.
A good producer on it.
Okay, who you got producing?
Man, there's so many great producers.
Yeah, who you got producing?
Get butt out the back door.
Yeah.
Put a beat on that.
Hey, man, listen, I just watched the Defiant ones.
Yeah.
Give me Dr. Dre.
Give me Dr. Dre.
Can't go wrong with Dre. That's good.
Yeah. If all y'all music heads, and I think G can confirm this, Swizz Beatz and Timbaland are having a...
Woo!
Yeah, they had a beat battle last week.
Oh, so they did already have it.
Oh, yeah, they had it. Oh my goodness.
Won? Who y'all think won?
A lot of people said that Timberland won.
Yeah, but they fans. Swizzy? listen. Swizzy got that funk, man. You know what I'm saying? He got that bounce. And he was playing them. He played a Jay-Z joint that he's never released. Mm. Oh, man, stop it.
Killed it.
Oh, man, stop it. So I went with Swizzy. I don't know who you went with, G, but I went with Swizz Beatz.
I haven't seen it.
So. You too busy doing podcasts.
Oh, man. Hey, listen, man. But it's about that time, man. It's about to wrap things up. Another banger in the books, man. And Kiki, listen, man, it's been more than a pleasure for you to come through. And I want you to know that you have a home right here.
Appreciate
in the SRT studio. Anytime you want to come through, especially when the season starts, when y'all go on break, come through, let us know your schedule. Hey, we'll even put the schedule on the website.
Oh, yeah, man, no doubt.
It don't even matter.
And I want y'all to hold me to that stuff I was talking to, man.
Yeah.
Put some pressure on me.
Exactly. Hey, because we're going to be out here talking like, y'all don't look like y'all going to the
tournament. Yeah, right.
I want you to talk. I'm going to be on him like, I'm finna text Kiki because point just lost by 20.
Exactly. Point just lost by 20. But look, I want to shout out, listen, I want to shout out all our old partners, man.
Okay.
Omar.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Fuller.
That's right.
R.I.P. Sean Jones.
That's right.
Asbury. Derek.
For sure.
Shout out to Chad Dollar.
Chad D.
Shout out to Cam Dollar, even though he was our ball boy. He wasn't with us. Who else do we need to shout out? That's pretty much all I can remember.
Brian Brown.
Brian Brown.
Son,
yeah,
for us.
Exactly. Tommy McGee.
Tommy McGee.
So shout out to all those people, man. And I want to thank Coach Dollar, you, Chad, and all of y'all for taking me in, man, because we had a good run.
That's right.
And I really appreciated the friendship that we built, man. And I remember all of y'all. And, man, we did our thing.
That's right.
But I had to go where I had to go get some education, man, because I needed that.
I got you.
I needed that.
You
into education and you understand
right.
the things. So, I mean, it was just one of them things where I had to go where the education was going to benefit me more for the future than it would have at that point.
I got you.
So with that being said, you see what we're doing.
Right, that's right.
What I'm saying? So education paid off. So I want to shout out you, shout out to all of our homeboys, man, back in the day we played with. Shout out to the crew. Shout out to G-Money. Shout out to Hero over there. She doing her thing. And no shout out to this Atlanta traffic because y'all what killing us.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. All right, who you got to shout out, bro?
Oh, man. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to come on the show, you know, giving me the platform to talk about the things that we were talking about.
And, absolutely.
First, I want to shout out to my team, Point University.
There it is.
Shout out to Coach Darryl Slack. And shout out all my my friends and followers and family members and everybody that's affiliated with me. Give a shout out to everybody.
There you go.
Shout out to everybody on Facebook that was on D Will's page.
What up, though? Hi, G.
Shout out to my mom and dad who listen every week. Right. No shout out to Atlanta traffic. I hate you with every fiber of my being right now. Check out, go to srtradio.com. I just posted Hancock's article. It's very insightful. I think you guys should check it out.
Appreciate that.
And after that, you can check out my website, bythetimeyouhearthis.com. We just did our 50th episode.
Hey.
And you can follow me on social media on Instagram at gplaysitcool.
Hey, D.
All right, well, we're talking about going to websites. Go check out my website. Go buy a t-shirt from me at realtalktees.bigcartel.com. That's realtalktees.bigcartel.com. And y'all already know, man. Follow me on social media, man, at _realtalktees on IG. That's at _realtalktees. And my personal page at IamCoachK9. That's I am Coach K as in King and the number 9. Let's keep the conversation going, man.
Yeah, you already know. Follow SRT at SRT Radio. We big on Twitter. We big on IG. You can do it on social media. Follow us at SRT Radio. And you can always go to the website. It's the one-stop source for sports. SRTRadio.com. Oh, well, you can go ahead.
Oh, no. Nah, I just wanted to put my website on there.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, man, you better. Hey, when you got done, I was going to tell him to put his social
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, follow me on Instagram at Kiki Hicks For Real. On Instagram, as I said, and follow me as on my personal page, Marquise Kiki Hicks.
There you
on
go.
Facebook.
There it is, man.
Kiki
Listen,
is for real.
Kiki is for real. That's what I'm talking about, man. Listen, we want to thank Kiki for coming in. Kiki for Three, the greatest nickname ever in life because he's doing his thing. But also, congratulations to being impactful for the kids. And we're going to get Big James in here in a couple of weeks. Kiki's saying he's coming, but we're going to see.
He'll be here.
Yeah.
Shout out to Poo Poo.
There you go. Shout out to Poo Poo. Hey, with all that being said,
Hero,
take this out. This is how we roll, baby. Hancock, let's get
Boogie in Detroit.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
And call me Coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is Main Man H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms. R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
OJ getting out.
And we out. Peace.